Brothers and sisters, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord of healing mercy, today remind us again of your power to heal our lives from fears and mistrust. Open our hearts to believe in your restorative power and your great compassion for us. Give us healing and make us agents of peace for you in this, your world. Let the church say, amen. Now let us confess our sin before God and in the presence of one another. All together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all consciences and deliver us from our thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, listen to the good news. God's mercies are affirmed and refreshed every morning. In Christ, God offers forgiving grace and welcomes us into a community of trust, abundance, and hope. As a community of faith, we will soon pass the peace with one another. In doing so, let us give thanks for the unbounded mercy of God and the unconditional love of Christ. Thanks be to God. Will you please join me in singing the hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, number 9 in your hymnal. That's number 9.
space of grace in the center of Harvard Yard. Welcome if you are visiting with us, and welcome if you proudly call yourself a regular. Welcome to you if you are looking for some community during summer term. Welcome to you who are of great faith and who are of no faith. Welcome to you if you are gay or straight or somewhere in between. Welcome to you if you are black or white or of some other race. Welcome to you, no matter your social status, no matter your gender. Welcome to you, no matter what. My name is the Reverend Wesley Kahn, and I am the ministry fellow here in the Memorial Church. And on behalf of the clergy and staff here at the church, I want to say that we are delighted to have you with us this morning. Our preacher for today happens to be yours truly. I will be speaking on the themes of hope and despair. At this time, I want to apologize for a little mess that we have in the back corner. We are experiencing a moisture problem as a result of our cooling system in the church. But do not worry, the appropriate people have been notified and repairs are underway. I'm happy to announce that we will be having coffee hour following worship. We will have coffee hour and refreshments downstairs in the student oasis. You can find the student oasis as you exit the church. Just take the steps immediately to your right. The church school is on break for the summer, but we do have worship bags and books for young people in the narthex. If you missed that when you came in, feel free to grab it now, and please feel free to also take that to your pew. For more details about the Memorial Church's events and services this summer, please see the announcements in the back of your bulletin, as well as on the Memorial Church website. People of God, Christ said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Christ's peace is not of the world. Christ's peace, though, is deeply rooted in the love of God and the love of neighbor and the love of self. A peace that is lived in action and in word. Let us begin our lives of peace here by sharing the peace with one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Go and share that peace with your neighbor. You may take your seats. Friends, Christ teaches us that following him means learning how to give and how to receive. Christ gave of himself so that all may live a life of love. And the disciples,
They gave of their fish and bread along the Emmaus road so that Christ, the stranger, could eat. In the same way, let us live into the sacredness of offering ourselves and our gifts, so that all may love, and so that Christ might eat. The ushers will begin the collection from the back of the church and work their way forward. Let us now give our offerings to God in gratitude and in praise.
Please be seated. A reading from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jasher. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, the daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, beginning at the 21st verse. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the lake. The one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who has been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhages stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. Creator of life, our hearts are brimming with prayers for this broken world. Some of us fear that this brokenness is irreparable. May we feel your abiding presence during this time. You call us out of our dark places, offering us the grace of new life. When we see nothing but hopelessness, you surprise us with the breath of your spirit. You call us out of our complacency and routines, and set us free from our self-imposed bonds, and fill us with your spirit of life, compassion, and peace. God, there is so much to pray for in this world. Today we articulate just a few that lay on our lips and hearts. God, the refuge of wanderers and exiles, the mother and father of the homeless. You weep for those who are uprooted from their homeland, and you suffer with those who exist without shelter and security. Lord, we pray for the children suffering the trauma of separation, who will struggle with attachment and trauma for their whole lives because of their inhuman detainment. We pray for those whose bodies manifest the anxiety of being detained and isolated, having nowhere to turn and no one to help. Grant that your faithful love and mercy may reach out, and that all your healing mercy rise like the dawn on all who are oppressed. God, we repent for the systems we have built and maintained that make violence more efficient. Let us make a stand, risk our own bodies, and disrupt in the name of justice and love. We pray for the politicians and lawmakers who make lies and propagate racism and fear in their colleagues who are too cowardly to stand up for justice and truth. We pray for the media propagating polemic oversimplifications and diminishing the stories and humanity of people, or who are using power for profit and distraction rather than truth and transparency. We pray for the business leaders who are profiting on violence, racism, incarceration, and the unlawful detention and separation of families by building detention centers and bidding on government contracts tied to this inhumanity and violence. Lord of the universe and leader of your people, give wisdom to all those who exercise authority. Teach them to put the good of the many before the greed of the few. Help them to love truth and to hate falsehood and corruption. And above all, urge them to remember that the one who would be greatest must learn to be the servant of all. In the times of trials, Mr. Rogers used to say, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." God, we also pray for those who are acting as your hands and feet in this world, those whose good works are uplifted and those whose work goes unnoticed. May they continue to feel empowered by your call for justice and filled with your love of humanity and creation as they go about building your kingdom here on earth, brick by brick, step by step. May we be these people, loving God. God, we ask for the assurance of your spirit to know in your presence with us in our daily lives, in our relationships, in our work and service, in our worship, in our times of joy and pain. We pray this in the name of your beloved Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Will you stand with me and go to your hymnal books, Number 247, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. That's 247. Please stand if you're able.
You may take your seats. The title of my sermon for this morning is Responding to Despair. Responding to Despair. Will you pray with me? God of ages past and ages to come, send your Holy Ghost upon these words and upon our thoughts, making them pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Communal grief is the theme of our reading from 2 Samuel. David, not yet king of Israel, has composed a lamentation at the death of Saul and his son Jonathan. The Song of the Bow, as it is referred to in the text, is to be sung across the nation in public mourning for the loss of Saul and Jonathan, who were both killed in battle with the Philistines. David's song of lament conveys the depth of his grief. In his mourning, he fears the rejoicing of the Philistines at the news of Saul and Jonathan's death. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets in Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, weeps David. The song goes on to even compel the mountains and the fields to accompany David and the nation of Israel in their grief. He goes then and concludes his dirge by highlighting the goodness of Saul as king over Israel, and by crying out for his dear friend Jonathan. David's composition of grief is unrestrained. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan, Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Despair is not absent either from today's gospel lesson. Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, he finds his daughter at the point of death. He is surely filled with agony as his once playful daughter lay motionless, nearly dead. All he and his wife can do is keep vigil over their fading life of their beloved. The unnamed woman in the text, she is well acquainted with suffering. The Bible tells us that she has been afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 long years. She went from doctor to doctor, hoping for a cure, spending all that she had on treatments. However, instead of healing, her condition went from bad to worse. Jairus and the unnamed woman find themselves playing those same dark chords of lament that David strung on his lyre. The series of current events over the past months make the grief in these texts especially noticeable. It feels like we are in a continuous state of heartache. Week after week, we are bombarded with sadness and sorrow as national events make grim our reality. Doom darkens our nation's doorstep at a frightening regularity. We see communities frequently mourning together on the steps of town halls, in our parks, and on social media. Heartbreak has become so prevalent that some churches even have grief kits, prepared in times of tragedy, complete with prayers and candles ready at any moment for the next community vigil. And I fear that I am not alone in saying that my hope flickers in this darkness.
Yes.
Public grief has become our profession, not by choice, but out of necessity. We mourn watching our government rip children from their parents, leaving them to weep in cages. Grief weighs heavy on us as we listen to so-called civil servants describe and characterize the nation's most vulnerable people as illegal, as hardened criminals, expendable, and yes, even as crisis actors. Candles, flowers, and stuffed animals, they have been left as makeshift memorials on sidewalks and on roadsides as markers of public lament for those killed by gun violence in this country, from Newtown to Annapolis to Parkland. And most recently, we are yet again left in distress as the arm of justice in this country reverts to its unjust ways by sanctioning Islamophobia. The causes of our communal grief are long and they are justified. We too join in that song of lament. Friends, what are we supposed to do in such harrowing times? What is the response to our grief, to our pain, to our lament? How can we possibly move forward from where we are at? Pastor and preacher Emily Heath says that in times like these, we have to ask God what God wants us to do. This may seem obvious to some, but I need reminded when I am burdened with distress. I need reminded when I see young people gunned down in their classrooms. I need reminded when I see refugee families torn apart. I need reminded when I hear my sacred texts contorted by tyrants for the sake of oppression.
Yes.
I need reminded. I need reminded to ask God what I must do. Each time we find ourselves tormented by something that we know is not right or just, we must ask God how we should respond. This is not a call to recklessness, and it is not a call to stop our grief, but it is a call to resilience, a call to resilience. When we are down, how else do we get back up? When we face injustice and pain, how else do we respond? As people of God, we must seek out God in our distress, lest we forget that on the other side of the coin is hope. That our help and our hope is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who calls us together as a community of resilience, a community who witnesses not just to the suffering of Good Friday, but also to the resurrection of Easter Sunday. Not included in today's reading from 2 Samuel is the portion that tells us what David did after his grief. At the conclusion of David's song of lament, he does just this. He reaches out to God. In the verse immediately following the lamentation of David, we are told that he inquires of the Lord. He reached out to God and asked God what he must do. In doing so, God instructs him to pick up Saul's mantle and to become king over Israel. In their distress, Jairus and the unnamed woman, they also reach out to God. Jairus fell at the feet of Jesus and begged him to save his daughter. In Jairus' moment of despair, he sought out Jesus and found hope and healing for his daughter and for himself. The unnamed woman, she literally grabs on to Jesus' clothes, desperate to escape her misery. And she too was made whole and well and sent out into the community in peace. Reaching out to God in times of misery, though, is audacious. It's risky. For Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, this meant jeopardizing his power in his community by bowing before the eccentric, self-proclaimed Son of God from some dusty nowhere land. For the unnamed woman, this meant refusing to let others define her affliction as sin and dictate when she could and couldn't be a part of the community. In spite of status and sickness, Jairus and the unnamed woman persisted. They reached out to God through Jesus because they knew that hope was not found in isolation. Sharing our grief is important work, but we must not stay confined to our songs of lamentation, isolated from the hope-restoring experiences of goodness. Like David, Jairus and the unnamed woman, we must reach out to God and ask, what is it that we must do? Not reaching out to God in our grief keeps us trapped in a cycle of life void of compassion and joy. What does God want from us in this moment? It is nothing but love. Love is what is required of us in these distressing times. It is love that sheds light at the end of the tunnel. Reach out to Jesus and grab his garment. Our hope and our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who promises the kingdom of heaven to the poor in spirit, comfort to those who mourn, and mercy to the merciful. Yes. We must reach out to God, remaining isolated and incapacitated by our grief. Only leaves the world as it is. Friends, we are resurrection people. But we didn't get to the resurrection by going to the tomb alone. No, we do this work together. Amen.
If you could please stand if you are able, and hymn number 259, The Church is One Foundation, that's hymn number 259.
Thank you.
strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the afflicted, and honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.